wonderful day to gather in his house to worship. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Savior this day.
Thank you, Mark, for our prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful day, and I've spoken to quite a few people this morning. Isn't it good to see the sunshine without any rain falling from the sky right at the moment? Amen.
Amen.
But we can't promise that it won't rain again sometime today, so while we enjoy the sunshine in this moment, it's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. We look forward to joining together in word and song and prayer as we lift praise to the King and King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us here at First Baptist. You can fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and you can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining online this morning. Of course, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our worship hour today, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer online, welcome. Glad that you found us, and I encourage you to send me an email this week, and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here and those watching online, a couple reminders about things coming up today and later this week. I do want to remind our church body that immediately following the worship service today, we're going to have a brief special called roundtable meeting. Those are our business meetings here at First Baptist. There'll be a motion coming from our vision leadership team about nominating an ad hoc constitution and bylaws team. Again, that'll take place immediately following the worship service today, right after worship. I do also want to remind our ministry teams and anybody else that have things to place in our August newsletter. If you have things that you want to place in the newsletter for this upcoming month, please make sure you email those items to Janice today. She will be working on them early this next week, so make sure you get those items to her as soon as possible. Looking ahead to this week, there are a couple changes in the calendar. Just want to point those out. First Tuesday, we do have our ministry at Golden Year Senior Center at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday night, Joe's Diner, team number 7, will be serving the meal at Allied Churches at 5:30 p.m., so just make note of those ministries taking place on Tuesday. Wednesday, choir will not meet on Wednesday night, so you'll have the night off. That doesn't mean you don't practice at home and work out your voices. We know that's what you do. We know that's what you do when you don't have choir practice, but no choir rehearsal on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, our next session of our online virtual Bible study, Counterfeit Christianity, will be taking place on Thursday. However, the time is different. In the bulletin, it says 6:30, but online, it's going to be at 7:30. So please make note of those for those who have been joining us for the study, Counterfeit Christianity. It'll be on at 7:30 on Thursday evening of this coming week. You will also notice in your bulletin, we talked about this the last couple weeks, we are continuing to collect school supplies for the classroom collection campaign sponsored by the Alamance Chamber of Commerce. All these school supplies go to support students in the classrooms for this upcoming school year. Many of you have dropped off items already. Thank you for those. And we will be collecting those through the first week in August. So if you have opportunity to be out over the next couple weeks, you can pick some of those items up. They're listed in your bulletin today. They were listed in the July newsletter. They'll be listed in the August newsletter as well. Pick some of those items up. You can drop them off in the boxes upstairs in the fellowship hall or in the communication center. Last but not least, we talked about this months ago about the renovations that will be done upstairs in the restroom facilities upstairs here at the church. Those have started. Some work has already been done in some of the restrooms upstairs, and they will continue to do so over the coming months. And the only reason why I mentioned that is you may, if you're up in your Sunday school classes over the next couple weeks, you may notice that a sign will be on one of the restroom doors, "Do not use." That means do not use. Don't go in there. That means it's under construction. This will take a while for us to get everything done. There will always be facilities available upstairs, but it will be kind of in a rotation basis. So it is already started. The partitions look great upstairs, but we're taking one bathroom at a time. So be in prayer for this transition time, but also be patient as this construction continues to take place. We gather here today to worship our Lord and Savior. Let us proclaim the great and mighty nature of our God this morning in song.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 52. Listen to these words of David. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. That's why we've gathered here today, to praise him for who he is, for what he has done, and what he continues to do in our lives. May we continue to grow in him this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord God, King of all creation, ruler of planets and peoples, receive our rejoicing this day. For your abiding presence and redemptive return, receive our shouts of gladness. For your justice, your fairness, your truth victorious, strengthen and inspire, so we may persevere in proclaiming and praise. We labor and yearn for your glorious day. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.
The splendor of the King.
I know a few minutes ago, as I was praying the invocation prayer, y'all were expecting me to lead into the Lord's Prayer at the end. And that was a little bit of a, why didn't he do that? Did he make a mistake? I did not. As we read our responsive reading today, part of it will be the Lord's Prayer. So if you would join me in our responsive reading today, the words will be on the screen behind me. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace to worship you alone, that all the world would see your fervent love expressed in our lives. Graciously turn us from all false idols and wasted living that brings dishonor to your name. Release in us the joy of your salvation to praise and honor your holy name. May your kingdom come to us and expand through us. Bring all those who are trapped by the devil's empty promises to know Jesus Christ, your Son, the living hope, that the number of those who follow him would be increased. Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death. In the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we place the lives of those for whom we've been asked to pray and for all who are in need. May we have a silent moment of prayer for others in our lives. Father, in your mercy, may your will be done. Grant us what is needed for today, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. In our body, sustain us. In our heart, preserve us from greed and selfish cares. For our soul, grant rich food from daily feeding on your word. Forgive us where we have sinned against you and against others, in both our acts and our omissions. Strengthen us in your grace and mercy, that we also forgive those who sin against us. In our forgiveness and forgiving, may our hearts may be at peace and find joy before you, and that no sin may ever cause us to doubt your love. Guide us, O Lord, away from every temptation, and by your Spirit, help us to subdue the cravings of our nature, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the evil one and all his strategies. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. We trust in your great mercy to hear and answer us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Now at this time, I'll ask Angie Miller, our deacon, to come for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abundant blessings, acknowledging that all we have comes from you. As we present these gifts, we are reminded of your promises to provide for our needs and to guide us in all things. May these offerings be a reflection of our gratitude and our desire to further your kingdom here on earth. We pray that you will bless these gifts and use them to bring hope, comfort, and healing to those in need. May our giving be a joyful expression of our love for you and our commitment to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. Would you once again join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word this morning? Lord, you know us too well. You know that we would like the ways of discipleship to be easy, to have the paths laid out in a neat line in front of us so the future clearly is visible at all times. But part of our journey is obscured by our own desires, our own greed, our own fear. You do not block the way to hope and peace. Our own fears provide the barriers. And far too often those barriers take the forms of alienation and prejudice. Write your words on our heart today, God. Plant your transforming love in our spirits. Give us courage as we have gathered this day to bring before you our concerns, our hopes, our fears, our joys and our sorrows. Give us hearts of peace and confidence in your all-sustaining presence. Help us to set our feet on this pathway toward the cross and beyond. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. This morning, I will be continuing our summer sermon series, Experiencing a Summer of Promises. And today, we will be looking at the promise of answered prayers. Each of us has found ourselves in precarious positions from time to time, maybe even in this moment today. Now, while some of these circumstances that we have found ourselves in are by choice, many of us have not asked for what we may be going through, what we have been through, whatever the circumstance might be. Maybe we feel like we're out on the ledge, and we're not sure how we're going to get down from it. It might be a financial mess, a relationship rupture, some family friction, a scary health situation, a recent loss of a loved one, or an inner torment that no one else knows about. We have all been there. We may be there right now. In these circumstances, we have been learning an important truth about God, and it's simply this. He makes promises, and it is in His very nature to keep those promises. Kevin DeYoung writes this, "The Christian life starts with the promises of God. He makes claims about Himself and gives us promises. Then, having trusted in those promises, we respond in faith and obedience to God's command." One of my favorite pastors that I used to read back in divinity school was Pastor Charles Spurgeon. We once had to choose one of a pastor from the past to write on, and I chose Charles Spurgeon. I don't know what led me there, but I had the opportunity over a semester to read sermon after sermon after sermon of Dr. Spurgeon. And if you ever had an opportunity to read his sermons, they are well worth it. And I will tell you, he never wrote a 20-minute sermon. Many of his sermons were hours upon hours long, but he once said this about God's prayers. "Prayer is nothing but taking God's promises to Him and saying, 'Do as you have said.' When you plead His promise, then your will is His will." Think about that for a second. Prayer is nothing but taking God's promises to Him and saying, "Do as you have said." When you plead His promise, then your will is His will. So far in our summer series, we have looked at the foundation of promises by standing firm on those foundations. And then last week, we examined the promise of eternal life. Today, as we look at the promise of answered prayers, the main point I hope you will take away from this is simply summarized in this one statement. God loves to answer prayer when we want what He wants. Let me repeat that again. God loves to answer prayer when we want what He wants. So let's dive a little bit deeper into that truth this morning as we examine our focal passage this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. This morning we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 33, just verses 1 through 3 this morning in great detail. However, to understand what's going on in these three verses, we need to know the backstory. We need to understand what was leading up to these three verses this morning. Jeremiah was the mouthpiece of the Almighty, and he was charged with delivering mostly bad news to God's people. That was his job. How many want to volunteer for that job? Anybody want to volunteer to deliver bad news to people? Well, that's what Jeremiah was chosen to do. Known as the weeping prophet because of the many tears he shed for his people, Jeremiah was also bold and brave when communicating God's message. Due to the deliberate disobedience of God's people, after warning upon warning, God announced that he was going to punish the people of Israel, the people of Judah, by the nation of Babylon. Their land would be decimated, and they would be deported basically to a pagan land. And amid all this mess that is about to take place, we see in Jeremiah chapter 32, God gives hope to Jeremiah by telling him to do one simple thing. He says, I want you to buy some land. Now, wait a minute. God's about to come into your country and take over everything here, but he's telling Jeremiah, before that happens, I want you to go buy that piece of property over there. Doesn't make much sense, does it? It doesn't sound great. Jeremiah is telling the people, you're about to be run out of your land, and God wants you to go buy that land that you're about to be run out of. Why would he do that? This was God's way of promising that his people would return to their land, which they did, albeit 70 years later. So speaking to Judah, the southern kingdom, Jeremiah's message was not popular at all, because it was not positive. It wasn't, oh, y'all are doing a great job, keep doing it. It was, y'all are not being God's people, you're going to be punished. How many wants to hear that on a daily basis? And that was Jeremiah's message. With the Babylonian army surrounding the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah conveyed these words in chapter 32. I am about to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will capture it. Zedekiah, the king of Judah, was infuriated, and he imprisoned Jeremiah, the great prophet. Actually, throughout the entire book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was thrown into prison so many times. They imprisoned him anywhere they could possibly imprison him. They threw him in a well one time. They put him in chains. They put him in stocks. He was basically the laughing stock. Instead of the weeping prophet, he should have been the chained up prophet, because that's where Jeremiah was. Now, most of us will never have to experience anything like this. Some of us, however, can relate to the feelings, however, that Jeremiah felt. He felt isolated. He felt trapped. He felt imprisoned by the past, or even chained to our present habits. How many of us can relate to those feelings? But the truth still holds. God loves to answer prayer. In fact, he promises in Scripture to do so. It reminds me of the story of the pastor who owned a parrot. This parrot would say only one thing, let's pray, let's pray. While the pastor liked the spiritual nature of this beloved bird, it kind of got on his nerves, so he tried to teach it some other things to speak, but it was to no avail. He also remembered that in his church there was a deacon who also had a parrot with a very similar problem. However, the deacon's parrot only said, let's kiss, let's kiss. And so the pastor had the great idea, well, why don't we get the two birds together? We're going to put them in the same cage and let's see what happens. So they did. They put the birds together and the deacon's parrot immediately exclaimed, let's kiss. Let's kiss, to which the pastor's parrot replied this, thank you, Lord, my prayers have been answered. back to our focal passage this morning. Let's look at these three verses. We see what's going on. We see the dynamic. But what we understand is this, is that God answers prayers no matter what we're going on. Jeremiah 33, we have to see how God answers prayer, so how he answers our prayers today. The very first thing we have to remember is this. We have to remember God's presence when it comes to him answering prayers. Look at verse 1 for a second. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Jeremiah was confined. He was locked up and alone. He felt ignored. He felt rejected, and he felt despised. Friends, no matter how alone that you feel in this world, no matter what's going on in your life, you are never alone if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're never alone, ever. We'll learn more about the promise of God's presence in just a couple weeks on one of the other sermons I'm going to preach. But right now, the first thing we have to do, remember, is this. Remember God's presence. That's the first thing when it comes to God's answered prayers. The second thing we have to remember is this. We have to reflect on God's power. Look at verse 2. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. God spoke into Jeremiah's isolation, and then he reminded him of his incredible power. Since God is the creator, he can handle any catastrophe or chaos that we might go through. He has founded us, he has formed us, and he has fixed us. If we turn back just one chapter to Jeremiah 32:27, the words say this, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Now, I know we all go through things in our lives where we think to ourselves, I don't know if I can get through this. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know what I can do to make things go on. But we don't have to. Because God has promised, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. That means he's the God of us. Is anything too hard for him? And the answer is simply no. No. Throughout Scripture, God invites us to call him by different names. Each title reflects a different attribute and helps us understand a bit more about God's majestic power. When you are filled with anxiety, call out to Jehovah Shalom, which means the God of peace. When you are in need of healing, reach out to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When you need God's provision, cry out to Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. In this verse, the Lord, the name Lord in Jeremiah 33:2 is the name Yahweh, which means I am who I am. First reference in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. We remember that passage, right? It was a little bit of about a burning bush on the side of a mountain and a man named Moses who encountered God. He is the covenant-keeping God, the ultimate promise-keeper. Jehovah's very name is a pledge of fidelity because he performs all his promises. He always does what he says he will do. God never overpromises and he never underdelivers. And I want you to hear that again because we need to understand this. God never overpromises and he never underdelivers. Humanity does, but God does not. That brings us to our third point. We need to respond to God's promise. Let's read verse 3 for a second. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Remember, this is Jeremiah speaking on behalf of God to his people. Because God is always present and he's always powerful, he will keep his promise. Verse 3 actually can be broken down into three specific things. The very first thing is the call to God. Sometimes we make prayer more complicated than it should be. Sometimes we think, I don't know what to say. How am I going to figure out what to say? Is God going to like what I say to him? And the answer is yes. You're talking to God. He doesn't care if you fumble over your words. He doesn't care if you say the right thing. What he cares about is the relationship that you have with him. Sometimes we make prayer more complicated than it should be. Prayer is simply crying out to God. Call to me. Call to me. The word call means to cry out, to call aloud, to roar. It was used to describe the cry of young ravens as they waited for food. It was also used for a child who cries out for help in danger. Many have referred to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, as God's phone number because we are invited to call him. Wouldn't it be great if we could just call God on a phone? We picked up the phone and dialed. Has anybody ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Raise your hand. It's okay. I've seen it. It's a great movie. Jim Carrey, Morgan Freeman. Jim Carrey, Morgan Freeman's playing God. Great voice for God, by the way. Anyway, in that movie, Morgan Freeman plays God, and he gives Jim Carrey the ability to get in touch with him whenever he needs to. And if you remember, it's been quite a few years ago, he gives Jim Carrey his number. And so Jim Carrey can call him, and eventually Jim Carrey gets the phone, and he has, anyway, long story short, they actually use a literal phone number in the movie if you went and watched it in box offices, okay? And the funny thing is, they gave God the number, and it was a legitimate phone number. So people went home from the movie theater, and they started dialing the number on their phone because they wanted to talk to God. Well, there was a little old lady in St. Petersburg, Florida, who had the phone number of God from that movie. She started receiving phone calls, 20 calls every single hour from people who wanted to talk to God. Well, at first she thought it was pretty funny, but imagine your phone ringing every single hour, 20 times every single hour. Not just for one day, but for 2 days and 3 days. And 4 days, and 5 days. How many of y'all would have pulled your phone service after that? Eventually, she changed her number, and the directors of the movie, before they put it out on DVD and VHS, they actually changed the number, so it was a non-identified number. Back to the sermon. We need to dial into God by remembering his number. We need to dial into him by calling him. There are a ton of verses that urge us to call out to God in Scripture. Psalm 86:3, Psalm 145:18 are just a couple of those verses. As natural as prayer should be to us, even Jeremiah the prophet had to be commanded to call out to the Lord. For some reason, we resist reaching out to God even when we're going through some of the toughest times in our life. We're a lot like Jonah, who instead of crying out to God when we need help, we go crawl in the very bottom deck of the ship and go to sleep and try to sleep everything away. Instead, we need to call up to God. We need a wake-up call like the ship captain who went down and said, how can you sleep with what's going on? Get up and call on your God. That's what we need to do. Our sleepiness and Satan himself fight to keep us from crying out to God in prayer. That's what he wants us to prevent. When the disciples could not keep their eyes open in the garden, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We need to stop depending on our own bodies and depend on the one who is in control. I read this week that there are more commands in Scripture to pray than any other command in Scripture. More commands to pray. Think about that. Think about how important prayer is. Let me actually provide a simple suggestion for you this morning. One way to pray more is to simply stop and pray with people when you talk with them, when you're on the phone with them, when you're eating a meal with them. Don't put it off. And what I mean by that is do it right there. And it may seem awkward to start with, but what you're doing is you're being in the moment with the Spirit of God. Now, I learned this some years back when I was in college. Jennifer and I went to UNC Wilmington. And when we were down there, Jennifer's home pastor here happened to move down to Wilmington and was the pastor down there, Reverend Stephen Kreutz. We were students there, and one night we went to meet him or visit him at his church, and we're going to go out to dinner with him. So his night was coming to an end. We went to the church. We had a good conversation. We were about to walk out to the door of the church, and as we were about to walk out the door, a woman walked in who was in tears. She was distraught with some kind of need, and she basically said, I just have a weighing prayer request on my heart. Something's weighing me down. Well, as the senior pastor there, I thought, okay, well, he's going to stop and just talk to her and follow up with her. But he did something right in that moment that captured my attention as a 19-year-old college student that still reminds me today. He took her by her hands, and he grabbed Jennifer's hand, and he grabbed my hand, and we walked over to a hallway where nobody else was walking. We got in a prayer circle, and we prayed for this woman. I didn't know this woman from anybody. Jennifer didn't know this woman from anybody. I didn't know what the prayer need was, but in that moment, right there, the prayer was made, and we prayed. And I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what Jennifer said. Jennifer may not even remember this moment. But it sticks in my mind where in the moment where prayer is needed, we don't put it off. We do it right there, right then. If someone's hurting and someone needs prayer, don't say, I'll pray for you later. You do it right then. Grab them by the hands. Do it then. Because that's what God wants. And that's how powerful God can be. Call out to God because he's ready to listen. The second thing we need to remember from verse 3 is this. We need to catch God's answer. After calling on the Lord, we need to be ready to see what he is going to respond. And he says, I will answer you. God is never preoccupied or busy or away from the phone when we call out to him. He promises to answer us. Psalm 4:3 says, the Lord will hear you when I call to him. But let's be honest for a second. Sometimes it seems that our prayers are not answered, doesn't it? Ever been there? Been there. Sometimes it feels that way. One pastor offered some perspective on prayer like that when he wrote these words. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the time is right, and you are right, God says go. Spurgeon had this insight. Even the Lord's people ask for things which it would not be for God's glory to give, not for their profit to receive. Philip Yancey writes it in this way. By answering every possible prayer the way we want the answer to come, God would in effect abdicate, turn the world over to us to run, rather than him being in charge. So what are you asking for? What are you asking for, and how are you asking it? The Bible puts some very specific conditions on asking for prayer. Dave, you'll pull up that next slide. Maybe a little bit difficult to see. Just listen to a few of these specific scriptural conditions. Hebrews 11:6 says, make sure you are a born-again believer. John 14:3 says, make your requests in Jesus' name. Matthew 6:10 says, ask according to God's will. Psalm 66:8 says, confess all known sin in your life. 1 Peter 3:7 says, live in peace with your spouse. Mark 11:25 says, forgive those who have wronged you. James 4:3 says, make sure your motives are right. John 15:7 says, stay close to Christ. Proverbs 28:9 says, listen to God's word. Proverbs 21:13 says, be willing to share with the poor. And then don't forget Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God. These are just a few, not an exhaustive list. These are just a few of the conditions when we come to God and we're lifting prayer to Him that we need to be in the right state, in the right mind. And that brings us to the last point for verse 3. Finally, we need to comprehend God's greatness. When we call out to Him and then catch His answers, His replies, we should expect the unexpected. I love how God goes way beyond what we ask for when we ask for it. Jeremiah says this, and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. The word tell here means to make conspicuous something that we previously was unknown. The word great means fortified and far away. When we call out to God and we experience His answers, we are often overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God Himself as He comes near, revealing things that we did not previously understand. Oftentimes when we ask things of God or we come to God in prayer, He answers us in so much greater and bigger ways than we could ever possibly imagine. We essentially put limits on God. And something I've learned about my God and your God, our God doesn't like limits. He's so much greater. God's provisions are much greater than our problems. We're called to have faith. We're called to be faithful team members. There are times we can grasp just how great and wonderful it is to be a partner with God in His kingdom work. And then we can understand His great and unsearchable things that we do not even know. Jeremiah 33, God follows up these first three verses with a whole bunch of promises that He's telling Jeremiah to tell the people. But if we remember, the people had to go into exile first before He carried through with the promises. God doesn't always say that tomorrow is going to be a good day. He doesn't say that. But what He does say is, I'm going to be with you. When the people got taken off to Babylon, they weren't alone. They were never alone. They had a God who loved them. And they had a God who was right there with them, preparing them for when they came back. First Baptist Elon, we must call out to God. We must be ready to catch His answers, and we must strive to comprehend His greatness. Each of us individually and as a church family, that's what we're called to do. Many years ago in England, there was a Christmas custom that took place. The poor inhabitants of a village would go around town with bowls in their hand. And they would beg for food and other food items from the wealthy in the community. The rule was during this Christmas season that those who had resources had to fill the bowls of those who did not have resources. The wisest of the poor would bring the very largest bowls they had in their house, and they would go door by door, and items were placed in these bowls, more and more. Whatever size bowl they carried, it was always filled, overflowing. First Baptist, when we call out to God with our prayers, let's make sure we are using our big bowls. Let's not carry a tiny bowl, because I can guarantee you this, He is ready to fill your bowl in so much greater way than you can ever possibly imagine. But if you go in with a small bowl, He'll fill it, but you may miss the overflow. Don't miss what he's trying to tell you. Without a doubt, God will answer. He will answer, and it will be greater than you will ever imagine. And so my question to you this morning is this: are you ready to experience the promise of answered prayers? Because it's here, it's in Scripture, and he's ready. Are you? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder from a prophet who had to speak and do things beyond his imagination for your people to hear. And it still rings true in our ears today that you are the one who answers prayers. Your promise is there, and we just need to hold on to it. We need to call out to you. We need to be ready for your answers, and we need to embrace them. Father, thank you for hearing us, always hearing us, always being present. Prepare us for your response. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing this morning, for our closing hymn, maybe today for the first time, the prayer that you've been lifting up is to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It starts there. It starts there with a relationship with him. If that's how you're embracing him today, I'll be down front. Come and let me speak to you what it means to embrace him as your Savior this morning. Maybe you're searching for a church home that seeks to honor God through ministry, through prayer, but most importantly, that seeks to embrace this promise of answered prayers. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. I'll be down front and share who we are here at First Baptist Elon. Or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you've been lifting up prayers for a while and you don't seem to be hearing the answer, the response. Maybe you need someone to pray for you down here. I'll be down here. Our deacons are right here. They'll pray for you as well. Come to the altar. The altar is always open. It's his. It's not mine. Come to the altar and pray. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Lift up those prayers this day as we sing our closing hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please stand. Just a reminder, we are going to go into a moment of business in just a moment. However, for all those that are gathered today, we're thankful that you joined us for worship. If you are a visitor with us this morning, you are more than welcome to stay and listen to how we do business here at First Baptist. However, if you don't want to, that's okay. You're more than welcome to exit at this time. We're going to just play one chorus of Sweet Hour of Prayer as we wait and go into our time of business. So just give you a moment or two, everybody get a breath, and then we'll enter into our roundtable meeting in just a moment.